Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into our podcast. My name is Kayla and I'm a junior at PHS and I'll be one of your hosts.
And I'm Lydia, I'm also a junior at PHS. We're so excited to get started.
This podcast is brought to you by Zebra Hair Dye. It's perfect for when you want to try something new. Since it only lasts a few days, you can change up your look whenever you want.
Today we are talking about something foreign to a lot of people, cults. Often, people are confused by what a cult actually is. So before we start, let's define what a cult is.
According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a cult is defined as a great devotion to a person, idea, object, movement, or work. But don't worry, your Harry Potter book club is not a cult. There's a few key characteristics that define a cult.
A few key characteristics of cults are things like brainwashing, where a group controls you so much you just go with their ways without even questioning it. Not being allowed to talk to your friends or family, basically not having contact with the outside world, is another characteristic. An exploitation of yourself or other group members is another one. They also provide a sense of belonging and community for people, which is a big recruitment factor.
Today we will be focusing on one cult in particular, the Unification Church, also known as the Moonies. The Unification Church started in the 1950s and 60s when the leader of the movement, Sung Myon Moon, sent Japanese and Korean missionaries to America. The group had 500 members by 1971, most of which were young. That number grew to 5,000 by the end of the 70s. Moon spoke to many people and sent outreach groups to gather donations. He was publicly anti-communist and encouraged members to support people in politics with similar ideals. Many people were married to a spouse picked by Moon in mass weddings, which gained a lot of public attention. The cult received a lot of controversy because of the extreme lifestyle of its members and the belief that Moon was the second coming of Christ. Today, the church claims it has over 3 million followers and has a presence in over 100 countries. Today, we'll be introducing a guest who can give us a first-hand account of what it's like being a member of the Church of Unification.
We have a very special guest today, Ms. Partain, who is an English teacher at Paradise High School and also a former member of the Moonies cult.
So, if you don't mind, we have a few questions for you. So, how did you come into the Moonies cult?
So, I was in San Francisco. These two young men saw me in the parks, and then they lied to me. They found out that I wanted to be a teacher, and they said they were starting school, and they were looking like they also found out I wanted to be in the Peace Corps, and they said they were starting a school like a mini Peace Corps in the Bay Area. And the rest of us call that lying in the cult. They call it heavenly deception. It's a way of, and it's part of the brainwashing once you've been sucked in, is they change the way you use words, and they change the morality on some of those words. So it became an okay thing to do. Like if I lie to you to get you to join the group, that's okay that I lied because now I've saved your soul. When I finally realized they had lied to me, I then believed, had been brainwashed to believe enough that it was okay to lie as long as you were saving somebody's soul.
So what was some of your experiences like in the Unification Church, like some super notable ones that you just like stuck with you?
I had so many. It's like one of the things is I wasn't really good at bringing people to I was really good at bringing people to the group. I brought everybody, all the street people, all the homeless. That isn't who they wanted. They wanted young people in the group. They wanted people who could work for them. So they immediately realized I wasn't good at bringing people to the group because I was too good at bringing the wrong kinds of people. And they even told me, they brought in, I had been bringing people to these meetings and they'd go, "Who is inviting you?" And they'd say it was me. Finally, one of the leaders took me off the side and said, "See those people you're bringing? God isn't ready to save those people yet." So then I learned there's a hierarchy to God, right? According to their belief system. So they said, but you can save anybody by taking their money. So they put me out in what they call the mobile fundraising team, MFT, mobile fundraising team. So I went out and I would take like bundles of flowers and we'd be let off at 6 a.m. and we'd be set out into a town and you would go from place to place selling flowers. At one point, I started to have some doubts at a certain point in the group, and to doubt was the worst thing you could do. That was evil. So I had stood on hot pavement and burned my feet and couldn't walk. So they put me in a wheelchair to fundraise, and I made double the amount of money. So we started a wheelchair group where we would go, we'd have these wheelchairs and we'd go out and we'd fundraise. One of the things that happened for me was I had this real sense of I was going to save the world, and I really wanted to save the world. So for me, when they asked me to sacrifice sleep, we didn't hardly sleep at all. When they had expectations of these big amounts of money you had to raise, if you didn't make your goal, they'd leave you out all night fundraising, like in front of 24-hour restaurants, things like that. There was a part of me that thought that was okay, because I needed to save the world. So it was very difficult to leave the group. That they also brainwashed me to believe that a third of the world's population would have to die in order to bring about this perfect world, that we were gonna have a perfect world. We were taught that if you worked really, really hard, Reverend Moon would pick your perfect mate. So they have these huge marriage ceremonies where they just randomly pick people for you.
Yes, weddings.
Yep. So we don't get a choice. You know, as a member, you had no choice. They pick the person for you.
So why and how exactly did you leave the cult? You started to talk about like why you wanted to leave the cult, how you started to realize that things weren't right, but how did you leave the cult?
So I, always before in the group, I was always with people and kind of being re-brainwashed. We listened to tapes, we read speeches, we were reprogramming, we went up to the camps where we did the brainwashing, constantly programming. At a certain point I got promoted and I was left alone for periods of time. And during that time my brain started thinking again and I started to think, what if, .. what if this isn't true? So at one point I finally talked to God and said, we're always praying, but I said, God, I am going to leave. Help me. Help friends of mine. And they said, get on a plane and come see us. Well, and I only had $100, so it was going to cost several hundred to fly, several hundred to take a train. But for under $100, the next day you could go anywhere in the United States on a Greyhound bus. So I snuck out the next day, left a note saying where the car was so they could find it. And I got on a bus and I headed to Oregon where my friends were. We were trained to kill ourselves rather than leave the group. And partway there I decided that I should die. And I tried to run in front of a bus and an 80-year-old man who had been sitting next to me on the bus and worried about me because I couldn't stop crying and I was a mess, tackled me. When I got to Oregon, that's when I voluntarily spoke to someone who knew about cults and said, I'll talk to this guy. And he started showing me how I'd been brainwashed, what I was told, how it was lies. It's a big wake-up call when you realize that you've just given several years of your life to something that's not real.
So after that, like after you were deprogrammed and everything, how was your life affected, like, even after the cult?
It was affected for quite a while. So when I first got out, I was pissed. I was like, oh, no, you didn't. You lied to me. You did this to me. I'm going to go destroy your organization. I wanted to go find my friends and take them out. So I joined a team of people who went rescuing people out of cults around the United States. The very first deprogramming I ever did was a guy from Canada who I knew in the group. And so it was my first experience of rescuing somebody out of the group who did not want to go. And he was very resistant. But once he saw the truth, he was like mad too. 5 years after I left the group, I made a statement to a friend of mine, and they showed me how I was still had some of the programming in me. And it was, I said, oh, you're so strong. You had to be taken out of the group. And I was so weak, I walked out. And he stopped me and he looked at me and he goes, do you realize how strong you had to be to have walked out of a group you were brainwashed in? I'm not the strong one. You are. That's cult thinking that you just gave me. And I went, 5 years later, I still had some things I had to work out. Big thing for me was finding my faith again, because eventually I studied enough and I saw enough that it helped me find my own faith again. But it took a while. I don't regret the experience because I've been able to save over 200 people from a cult. I regret any people that I got in the group that are still in. That hurts my heart. But I've been able to do some, you know, speaking to groups and letting people know about, and hopefully keeping people from ever going in. To me, that's the biggie. I've been able to help people because of what I went through.
That's cool that you've used your experience to help other people that are in a similar situation that you were in.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For sharing your experience. That was so good to hear. And that's crazy that you went through all that, and then you're just like a normal person now.
Yep.
It's uplifting that you've been able to help so many other people.
Mushy Marshmallow teamed with this podcast to create a marshmallow so good, you might make a cult about it. Good for any time, whether it's camping or just a snack at home. These marshmallows will always boost your spirits. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed. And remember, stay away from cults.